So what is Parts of Parts and Stitches all about?
It is about community and the way that people who have been living together for generations can turn on each other. People have been living together for generations as neighbors, as brothers and sisters, turn on each other because of, the political agenda. It's also about, on the other hand, the way that people cultivate tremendous courage to help each other in those situations where there's such intense violence and they cross these sort of politically constructed borders to save each other in spite of great danger to themselves. Another thing it's about is grief and grieving loss and the way that sometimes coping with grief leads us to do some really insane things. So I would say those are some of the overarching themes.
Okay, what was the inspiration for this production? How did it all start?
Well, the backdrop for the piece is 1947 in a small village that is now in Pakistan. And it's set during the time that the British were withdrawing from the area and the partition of India and Pakistan was taking place. And my family, many of my family members, my dad and my aunties and uncles are survivors of that particular war and violence. So I wanted to document and engage with my family history in that way. It's a history that's been written about and talked about extensively. I mean, perhaps not in the United States, but certainly in many other parts of the world. But it, for me, it's a very personal story because my family's been through it. And several years ago, I did oral histories with a number of my relatives who survived it. And so many of the situations in the play are experiences that that my uncles and aunties and my dad have actually had during that time. But that's sort of where it's sprang from.
Okay, so do you feel like you've gotten closer to your family through writing this?
Absolutely. I've gotten closer to them, yes, because it was actually really touching to experience the fact that they felt important and like they had something to contribute to a sort of a larger agenda in the world other than, you know, feeding their families.
Yeah.
And so recollecting their personal experience of the partition, they really understood themselves in a way to be part of this important historical moment. So yeah, in that way, I think it felt like for them, it did create an intimacy between us because I think they told me stories that are generally pretty painful to remember, frightening to remember, and it's not something that's dinner table talk.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. And my parents are going to be at opening night. My brother, my cousin, whose mom passed away recently, who I interviewed, you know, they're all going to be coming to see the show. So I'm nervous about that. I know that it's going to bring up stuff, you know, so I'm nervous. But it's also exciting.
Well, considering that, what would you like them and, you know, the other people, you know, that are attending the performance to really get out of it?
In general, some of the things that I try to nurture in my work and I enjoy about other people's work is where... So what I would like people to get out of it is a question, you know, about how would I respond in a situation like this? How could I possibly find the courage to do some of the things that, that the courageous heroes in the play do? And how could I possibly, what could I do to prevent some of the cruelty that happens in the play? What could I prevent? What could I do to prevent some of that from happening? How is it that it manifests in my life today? You know, where is it that I have been living next to these people for so many years, and all of a sudden, in my mind, they've become the enemy? You know, so like to create what I would like the audience to be left with is the contemporary sort of question of, you know, because it's a very specific time and place, but it's quite a universal story in that you can see this in Israel and Palestine. You can see it in, you know, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. There's these sort of artificial divides in the land. You can see it in the American Southwest, where the U.S.-Mexico border. You know, there's these artificial divides that divide people and really create a sense of enemy in our minds where we have to keep those people out, or, you know. And so, you know, I want the audience to be left with, well, how am I manifesting, how is this manifesting today? And where do I stand in it? I can watch these people, you know, be cruel or be heroes, but where do I stand in that continuum in real life, in today's life? Not that wasn't real life, but in today's life. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. As far as the characters go, I mean, considering the fact that they're like kind of semi-modeled after people in your family, this may be a difficult question to answer, but I mean, which one's your favorite? Like, which characters stick out the most to you?
I actually, my favorite, like, if I could be in the play, I would want to be part of the chorus of vultures. So there's, and the vultures reflect no one in my family, let me put it.
Uh-huh.
Let me make that clear.
Okay.
I know somebody will be thinking, hey, I wonder if that's so-and-so, auntie. I think the chorus of vultures are the most interesting characters to me, because they're kind of like the angel and the devil sitting on the two sides of the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play many roles in the piece. They're omnipotent, so they have a sense of these sort of superpower beings. But they're also scavengers, you know, real scavengers in the play who are just really feasting on the bodies of the dead from the violence. So they're also very base. And then they provoke, and they instigate, and they reflect the different things that the characters are thinking and doing. So I actually think that they are the most interesting characters, because they bring a sense of mythology and fantasy to, a historical moment.
Okay, how did MT Works really help you put all of this together?
All right. MT Works, MT Works, this company has balls, okay? Because this is a 14-character play. Now, you know, it's rare to see a 14-character play up anymore because it's expensive. And so they are such a generous, courageous group of people. You know, one, for putting on a play that has so many characters. Two, for putting on a play that where the ethnic specificity and sort of the geographical specificity requires them to really move out of their comfort zone mm-hmm. in terms of finding a cast, in terms of doing publicity, in terms of their own sort of cultural knowledge and historical knowledge. I mean, it's just amazing to find a group of people who are willing to do so much work to put this on. You know, I mean, it's just a blessing. I can't say how grateful I am. They're just amazing, and they're so persistent in, you know, finding the right cast. We went through a series of interviews over the summer to find the director that we have, whose name is Kat Parker, and she's fantastic. The set designer is George Allison, and Kat and George have just been working so hard to do the research necessary to find out, like, all kinds of information about that time and about different cultural aspects of the play, and they really are working hard to find a balance of the fact that there's a reality, you know, because it's based in history, there's a historical moment to balance the realism and the fantastical in the play. It's just a phenomenal group of people to work with, so incredibly generous and courageous.
Okay, what would you say to someone who's kind of on the fence? They see something on MT Works' website, or they're kind of Googling, and they come across, you know, parts and stitches, and they're like, why should I see this? What would you say to them?
Oh, because the journey of the protagonist is a ride that just is unforgettable. It's unforgettable what this woman goes through, and it has nothing to do with being culturally specific, this journey. It is like, she's just on a trip that will make you experience, like, you'll be hysterical and you will be in tears. The journey of the protagonist and the characters who push her along the way on that journey is—they're just like amazingly alive and so cynical and so loving, and it's just full. It's like a Pandora's box, you know. When you open it, there's going to be all of this stuff coming up that you just. It will make your mouth water, and then you'll be like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have had that, because I want more.